Podcasting 2.0 for December 6, 2024, episode 203. Tweak my tweeters. Well, it's getting cold out there, but that doesn't matter. We're still going to bring you Podcasting 2.0 on your Friday afternoon. This is the place where we discuss all things podcasting, your true North Star. That's right. The boardroom is here, open for all, and we are the only boardroom that does not have a booth at the trade shows. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who post-processes his generated tailwind bundle just for fun. Say hello to the pod sage, everybody. My friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones.
The what?
The man who post-processes his generated tailwind bundle just for fun. There it is.
Take that, and you can just edit that right in. You can splice it right in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, there's no takesy-backsies here on in the boardroom. What's said is said.
Nobody will ever know.
What's said is said. We're done. That's how we roll. We don't edit anything, ever, as far as I can recall.
Nobody will ever know.
No. No one will ever know the difference. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Good. Yep. I'm going to be consuming this plate of food as we podcast.
Oh.
So, yes, but nobody will ever know because that's how good I am.
Yes. What are you eating?
I've got a croissant.
Oh, a croissant.
And beef jerky.
Oh. Now, do you do a bite of croissant and a bite of jerky? Is that how you roll?
I'm not going to do that because that's gross. And then I also have a beef milkshake and... That's a really weird lunch.
Yeah, good for
you.
But
you know what? When you run through the kitchen trying to
you just grab what you can.
Food,
you grab what you can.
Available. Yes.
Yeah.
It's the French not real big on croissant and jerky.
And jerky. No, it's well, but we could start a new restaurant. Quad jerky. Quad jerky. Quad jerky.
Je crois.
Je crois. Oh, maybe that'll work. Let me write it down. Let me see if that looks good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably not.
Jerquois. I think
that sounds
jerquois.
Like a terrible. That sounds sexual.
What a great product, good. Jerquois.
That sounds way bad. No, don't do that.
Oh man, yeah, it's been crazy here. I was on a Zoom call with Open Mike. You know, we know him from Toonster, and of course the Live Value for Value concerts, and he's organizing December. I keep getting it wrong. Is it December? It's Monday, December 16th in Austin at Antone's. Go look on the calendar. Antone's, tickets still available. And
this is for the live Booster Grand Ball.
Yeah, the Booster Grand Ball Live. Adam Curry's Booster Grand Ball Live. Yes. Six bands, it looks like. And he also had he's brought in a guy to do a documentary. Parker, of course. He's a Bitcoin guy. He has another guy named Parker. He's flying him. I mean, Open Mike is really, he's really all in on this stuff, man. He's putting up the goods to make this happen. And they've got a whole weekend before that in Austin with the Costellos are coming in, and they've got all, you know, like a round table and all kinds of stuff happening. He's really taken this to the mat. So the documentary will be about value for value.
Oh, is he a documentarian? Is that what he does?
He is a documentarian. Yes, that is his exact title. And but he's done Bitcoin documentaries. He's done some good stuff. And so
the search for Satoshi.
No, not that one.
Okay.
No, he's done some other things, and he's in New York. So he's Open Mike's bringing him into Austin. He's also going to do stuff in Nashville. He'll probably come back in the new year and do stuff out here with me in the Hill Country. Is really putting the work into it. And he has to go to California to talk to Dvorak. I said, you can't do a value for value documentary without JCD, because he was very instrumental in forming the original kind of concept over 17 years ago. So,
okay. So it's not Bitcoin specific. It's a value for value documentary.
Correct. Correct. Value for value, as the, monetization model, the programming format, and the international lifestyle.
The international lifestyle.
Yes, it's the new international lifestyle. You didn't know that? You didn't know value for value?
No, I knew this. It just caught me off guard.
I think it's actually, let me see. I think it's actually on the valueforvalue.info website, which I always tell people to go look for. Yes. Let me see. Valueforvalue.info. Let me see what it says. I don't think, that slogan is not on there. But it does say monetization model, content format, and a way of life. Yes, okay, a way of life.
Okay. Well, but I like the new international lifestyle.
It's the new international lifestyle, baby. that's what we're all about here. So it was really good, but it screwed up my morning. I mean, we got people coming in. I got, because we have the parade tonight. The Fredericksburg Christmas parade is a big deal. They air it live on CBS Austin.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've heard about it.
Yeah, it's the Main Street.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I haven't heard.
It's the Main Street Parade. And we've got the oil baron and his fiance coming in. They're staying overnight. So I'll learn a lot about oil. Woo! And then...
Is there floats that go down?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a full-on electrical light. It's good old boys, too.
Hayrides,
everything. Yeah. We have the quintessential Main Street in Texas. I mean, this is the one. We have the marked plots. We've got the Eisbahn. So we have the skating rink open. We have an entire, square that is just all the trees are lit up, all the Main Street, all the stores. It is what you want from an old school American German Christmas.
Does the city have a Christmas tree in the town square?
Yes. Yeah. The Marktplatz. Absolutely.
Nice. Oh, yeah. This is a Hallmark movie.
But wait for it. So tomorrow, and they have the market going on at 6:30. The market officially closes at 6:30. We kick in. We're doing a Christmas concert. We've got the Rev 1211 Orchestra, which is about 10 different worship leaders from churches all around Texas. And they're doing a multimedia presentation of the greatest story ever told. So it's going to be videos running like, the chosen Christmas scene and stuff. It's not Jingle Bells. It's going to be, these are top notch musicians. Mm-hmm. And so I'm emceeing that. And so we're all into the Fred Christmas spirit, man. We are all in.
Hello, Fred.
Hello, Fred. Yes, hello, Fred. So we got a couple things to talk about. Maybe we can just, without going too deep, we'll do a little update where you think we are and the stuff I've been seeing on the wallet switchover. Let's just call it the wallet segment.
No, wait. Drip Scott just posted a link to www.fredericksburgchristmasparade.com.
Oh, virtual viewing.
Yeah. Is that a real link?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a long domain name. I hope nobody has an email address at that.
Looks like it's streaming live. Yeah, on YouTube. Wow, okay. Let me click on it. Let me see what they got. Do they have anything live yet? Oh.
We are Fredericksburg Strong.
That's Fredericksburg, Virginia. No. No.
Look at Virginia trying to steal Texas.
Oh,
thunder.
Man.
I mean,
no good. Take that away. That link is no good.
No, take it away. Yeah. Delete it off IRC.
Virginia. Yeah, delete it off IRC. So people are working on stuff. There's a lot of talking going on. I've seen some stuff. I've been hanging out in the Stephen Bell Cinematic Universe where he is, he's already upgraded Sovereign Feeds to handle the new LN addresses. He even has a value block updater in there. So it'll go through all of the feeds that you use in Sovereign Feeds and put in the new blocks when you're ready. He's running real hard. But I think there's still some confusion and people have thoughts. I mean, what have you picked up in the past week?
I know it's hard to... I've had a little bit of trouble keeping up with people are at. I mean, let me see if I can kind of step back a little bit. Cause part of the issue is that nothing is okay. The main confusion has been who this is going to affect and who it's not. Can we agree on that?
Yeah. Well, it's going to affect everybody.
Well, I mean, yes and no. See, that's the hard, that's kind of, you kind of summed up the difficulty of this, because it's going to affect everybody that's not Fountain, Breeze, Wave Lake. I mean, like, there are people that is not, that are not going to be affected. I mean, like, Fountain's just going to keep on trucking. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be affected at all. And then, you know, like, if you claimed your show through Fountain, and then your most of your listeners are also using Fountain, then you're not going to see any difference.
Hold on a second. If people have claimed their show on Fountain, which means they have made use of the partner API / shim in the podcast index, yes, that information will have to change. No,
because Keysend will continue to work, because Zebedee is the back end, and Fountain is going to continue to support the current,
okay,
you know, the Keysend value blocks on out.
Mm-hmm. But doesn't Fountain want to move to the LN address format?
They will over time. Yeah. Okay. But they, you know, this is going to be a slow transition for them as well.
But I mean, if you've claimed your feed through Fountain and you're using a Fountain wallet address, anyone else trying to send to you from another app, which will no longer have Keysend available, that's going to fail. So it does affect people.
Right. So that's where you begin to get affected. So like I'm going to paint different scenarios. The only way I know how to do this is just to paint different scenarios.
Sure.
Like, so if you are, if you're a artist on Wavelake and your wallet is through them and people are listening to your music on Fountain, you will not see a difference.
Okay.
Nothing will change. If you are an artist on Wavelake and people are listening to you on Wavelake's app, or let's say on Breeze, nothing will change.
Mm-hmm.
You will see no difference. If you are a music artist who claimed through Sovereign Feeds, and you claimed to a wallet that your own wallet that supports
Keysend,
let's say your own node, and most of your listeners are on Fountain or on Wavelake, you won't see a difference, or Breeze. The places you're going to see the places that are going to be affected initially are going to be third party. It's not third party. That's the wrong term. Are going to be apps that used Albie's free hosting as a way to get listener wallets.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer going to be able, the wallets are just going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be specific. The wallet will go away if you do not convert it to an Albie Hub, which 99% of those people will not.
Right.
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So I heard something about Albie converting those sats into free credits or something like that for an Albie Hub. I don't know. I didn't hear about that. I may be wrong. So if you are a listener on Castomatic, unless you decide that you want to do an Albie Hub, which most of them will not, you're going to lose the ability to send boosts to people. Same with Podverse.
Right.
True fans, you're not there. If you are a True Fans listener, sending boosts to somebody who claimed on Wavelake or Fountain or their own node, you're not going to see a problem. You're going to continue to function. So as far as I can tell, there's only two main apps that are going to be affected by this.
Well,
excuse me. No,
a couple.
I'm sorry,
there's
three.
A couple. Yes. Podcast Addict, Podcast Guru, Podverse, and Cast-O-Matic.
Podcast Addict never supported streaming sats anyway.
Okay. So Cast-O-Matic, Podverse, Podcast Guru.
Yes, those three. So you're going to initially, and I think everybody else is going to, is going to be able to function, except those three. CurioCaster is going to integrate Strike.
I think Steven said he was also going to continue to support Albie Hub, obviously.
Albie Hub, okay.
Yeah.
So that one, that's a hard one. I'm not sure there.
Okay, so in this scenario, how do we transition to Ellen address so that the other three big ones, I consider them to be big, Podverse, Podcast Guru, Fountain, so that they can transition to the new wallet integration.
No, Podcast Guru, Podverse, Cast-O-Matic.
Cast-O-Matic, I'm sorry. So that they can transition into the new Ellen address. All these other services will also need to turn into Ellen address.
They will have to have an Ellen address. Yes, the Ellen address will have to slowly come into the feed. Mm-hmm. And as that, but really that is going to have to happen on a time scale, on a time frame where Albie and Fountain are both comfortable doing that. So I don't know how long this is going to take. I mean, because there's a new standard here, right? So there's the LN address options file standard, and that options file format has to be supported by Fountain and Albie and Wavelake.
What Strike does, is that actually LN address or is that only LN URL pay?
Strike?
Yeah.
It's LN URLP. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Okay. So they don't, so that is not LN address.
No, that is not LN address. And so this was the part of the confusion last week with what Oscar was saying that is just honestly hard to explain, is that LN URLP LN URLP is a, you know, is a way to get, it's a bunch of things. It's a Lightning address format, but also a way to get payments, generate invoices so that you can pay an invoice. Mm-hmm. So LN address, which is the kind of format we're working with, LN address is a way to specify more, a bunch of different format options. Because the thing, LN URLP only, it assumes Bolt 11. So that's the issue. Mm-hmm. And honestly, what we're trying to build is something that's a little bit agnostic to podcasting itself. We're trying to attach Lightning addresses to a options file where you can ask what format of invoice does the other side accept,
right?
Which is a step up, which is a layer, a level above LN URLP, which assumes Bolt 11. So now you say, okay, we're not going to assume anything. We're going to ask, let me start from the beginning. It's like, you've got an address, Spurlock at, you know, livewire.com, and that you say, okay, he's given me this as his payment address, but I don't know what I can send him. And now let's talk. We're talking about this, and we're going to come up with I'm going to actually go back to a similar issue when it comes to in a moment when it comes to talking about Alex Gates's proposal for the Meta Boost.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll, you know, stick a pin in this concept because we're going to come back to it, because that's the issue is that LNURLP assumed Bolt 11. And now we're saying, okay, wait, we can't assume Bolt 11. We can't assume Keysend. We can't assume anything. Let's ask the owner of the payment address what they can accept. And when you do that, you need a new format. And that's what we built. We built the options file. And this was under the advice of Roy, who said, hey, just build it. There needs to be a way to specify the different payment formats that the other side accepts. So now, instead of just seeing a Lightning address, assuming it's Bolt 11 and asking for a payment invoice, now you see the Lightning address, you query an options file that says, okay, here's the different payment methods I accept. Is it Keysend, Bolt 11, Bolt 12, or all three?
Okay, so you can put multiple ones into your LN address well-known file.
Well-known options.
Options. Okay. So that's the part I was confused about. So you can put different ones in there. That's cool.
Yes. So Dave at podcastindex.org might be a Lightning address. And in the past, that was always going to be assumed to be LNURLP, which is Bolt 11. Now you can look up the options file and get back, oh, I see here I can pay Dave through Keysend, right, or Bolt 12 as well.
Okay, so just so I understand, so I will have to, as a sovereign individual with my Start 9, I will somewhere have to create this file that can be accessed that has my well-known options in it.
Yes. If you're sovereign, yes. If you're sovereign, you will have to do that yourself in some way.
Okay. But even if I use Strike, I'll have to use that. I'll have to get one of those somewhere.
If you're using Strike to receive, yes.
Yeah. And we have no idea where those come from Jesus?
Yes.
If I pray you hard enough?
You pray and you're delivered one. Yes.
Okay. So that's something that sounds like a service, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a service.
Yeah,
I mean,
Albie and Fountain and
They essentially have that, right? I mean, I can use my
provide that.
Yeah, so I would love that. I would love to just that would be super easy to use my what is it? Adam@getalbie.com, and then and I can then connect through them. I guess I can connect whatever wallet I want through Nostra Wallet Connect or whatever it's called, right?
Right. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. So you would have, yes, because Strike supports LNURLP. So you with through there. Here's the way you would munge this together. Strike, if you're using Strike as your destination wallet and you're a podcaster, you would need an options file. A well-known options file that lives at the payment address location that you've designated.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that options file, one of the options for your Bolt 11 option, you're going to return the Strike LNURLP endpoint to you.
Right. Got it.
So it allows the app to look up what it can send you.
Got it.
So it's another lookup step.
Mm-hmm.
But
which can potentially be cached for a little bit, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Yep.
Okay. So Albie will be able to provide me that, LN address, lookup file. That's the impression I got that they would be, which is great. I mean, that would actually, I mean, the way it seems to me in this scenario is that Albie can still play a very important role by keeping everyone. So, you know, Albie, if you use your Albie address and you use Nostra Wallet Connect to connect to, I'm just going to use Strike as an example, then not much would have to change. If I'm using Podverse, I can still use my Albie API. I'm just connecting that address. I no longer have a wallet there. I connect it through their Nostr Wallet Connect service to Strike. Am I thinking properly that way?
Yes, I think so. I mean, if Albi supports it, you know, and I think my understanding is that they're going to support the lookup, and
that, you know, would be great.
So, you know, we'll see.
Okay,
What they come up with. I mean, I think they're grumpy about it, and I don't blame them.
Why are they grumpy about it? No. Don't they want people using? I thought that that's what they wanted. I thought they were happy about it.
No. I'm not being ugly about it. I'm just saying, I think, like, I get the impression that Boomi didn't want to have to, you know, jump through another set of protocols, and I get it.
It was their idea.
No. Well,
the Ellen address thing was their idea. No.
Yeah, but the options file, I don't think was.
Okay.
You know, right. I think we just could, but.
It's good for everybody, though, ultimately.
Roy, I think Roy was right. I mean, you need, you know, and again, we're going to talk about this with Alex's thing. You're going to need some level of, you got to have an extraction layer. If you're going to do abstraction, mm-hmm. Here's the thing. If you're going to do abstraction, you need to go all the way with it.
Yeah, I agree. Might as well go.
Don't half-ass it.
Yeah, do it. Do it right. Do it. Do it. Just do it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because. It's like, okay, now we've hamstrung ourselves, and 2 years from now, we're going to have to go through this whole thing again for this new payment model. You know, it's just, I don't think, yeah, you better go ahead and do it right the first time.
I'm with you. Okay. That piece we've got. Now, the next piece is the payment information piece.
The metadata.
And I just want to give my 2 cents before you kick into this.
Yeah, go for it.
What I've seen is a lot of discussion about should the RSS feed determine where the podcaster wants that information stored, or is that something on the sender side? And although I am agnostic, I would say that to date, it has always been the sender side that has been responsible for getting all the information to the recipient. And there's been no control files, no information in the feed itself about that particular information because it was being sent along with the payment in the TLV record. So for my thinking is it makes sense for the sender to be responsible for that. Podsage, go.
You caught me with a mouthful of cojones.
Okay.
Yeah, but the sender, but I mean, the difference in the past though is the sender was sending the metadata with the payment, so the payment they're yes. in a bundle. They're, yes. you couldn't, they're
I,
not
I,
separable.
I understand.
So I mean, now this is different.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, that's why I said I'm agnostic. I was just setting up. You just reiterated what I said. Thank you.
Okay. So I think this preserves your sense of that whole thing though.
Okay.
So Alex's proposal is, why don't we put, since they're going to be separated, why don't we put in the feed the location that this data is going to, and I'm going to be very specific about my language here, okay? Why don't we put in the feed a web location where this data will be interchanged. It doesn't mean that that's where the data has to live. It just means that if you want to get metadata, payment boost metadata, i.e. the TLV record, if you want to get that information into a place that the podcaster can use it, or if you want to get it back out of a place where the podcaster owns it, here's the protocol that you're going to use to interface to get it in and out.
Okay.
So that means this is very similar to Podping.cloud, by the way. Podping.cloud is not Podping. Podping.cloud is an interface into Podping.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to send Podpings, one way you can do it is through Podping.cloud.
Mm-hmm.
it's a standardized protocol. It's just an HTTP endpoint. And it says, okay, if you want to send a Podping, here's how you do it through podping.cloud. You're going to send us an HTTP request, and it's going to have to look like this, and it's going to be this.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, we're going to take it, and then we're going to send it to the Hive blockchain for you on your behalf.
Right.
That's similar to what Alex is proposing here. He's saying, why don't we have a standardized protocol, a REST or you know, a REST-based protocol where you send, where if you need to send payment proofs or retrieve payment proofs, here's the location, here's the endpoint location and the data interchange format, the API spec. Now, what you do with that metadata on the back end once you receive it as the podcaster or as the service providing the mm-hmm. service to the podcaster,
mm-hmm.
what you do with those payment proofs, that's your business. You can take those payment proofs and then stick it on Nostr, XMPP. You can stick it in. You can do whatever you want. Wherever it lives beyond that, that is not of concern. But in order to be able to have a sort of a universal way that apps can speak metadata, payment proof, this would be the language of payment proof interchange.
Now, understood. Is this something that could or should live in the Ellen address options file, or is this another lookup that has to be performed by the app?
It wouldn't necessarily be a lookup. I could see where it would be sometimes beneficial for, if you're going beyond podcasting, I can see where this would be beneficial to have it in the Ellen address options file. It could be there if you wanted to sort of like get beyond the podcasting use case, but it doesn't have to. Like, I'm really kind of agnostic on that point.
The reason why I ask is because if it's one thing to say, okay, we're replacing value block in feeds with an LN address lookup file or LN, mm-hmm. an LN address, which points to a lookup file. It's another thing for hosting companies. I'm thinking on their behalf right now. Now they mm-hmm. have to add another field into the feed for the metadata information. So that's the only reason why I thought maybe it's just simpler to add all of that into the Ellen address lookup file, options lookup file.
Possible. Yeah, it's possible. I mean, this is sort of Alex is proposing using JPTs, the JSON payment token for the signed proof.
Mm-hmm.
And that's agnostic to podcasting. It's not domain specific to what we're doing. So that's generic enough to pull out and put that into an options file. I think this can evolve. I could see it going either way.
I mean, I'm just looking from the hosting company standpoint of putting, you know, yet another thing that they need to add into the feed. I mean, it happens all the time. It's just, right. you're adding more complexity. I'm just talking out of my butt because what do I know?
Well, the benefit of doing it in the feed, like anything, I think there's probably some trade-offs here. The benefit of doing it in the feed is that you may have podcast apps that don't support payments but still want to show some of this data. Maybe they don't have listener wallets, but mm-hmm. if it's in the feed, they could still speak the language. They could still speak the language to do that. So
say that again. Just repeat that for me. I got to parse that.
Well, let's say that you just have like PodPage. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
PodPage is not, they may not support paying a podcast, boosting a podcast through Lightning, but they might want to show boosts on your PodPage.
Right.
under the episodes, all, you know, with all the comments and with all these kinds of things, but they want to make sure that they only show verified ones.
Oh, okay.
So that would be a use case where it would be more helpful to have it in the feed because they don't have payment infrastructure. You know, they could maybe look up the LN URL, the LN pay address, but it might just be easier to have it in the feed.
Okay. All right.
And, you know, Alex is in the boardroom. He makes a good point. He's talking about Monero doesn't really have this options file type of thing. So if we do it in this sort of payment agnostic way,
mm-hmm.
where it's in the feed.
Right. You don't need an options file if you're going to use Monero right. as value. I got it.
Right. But that's up to the LN URL people.
But hold on, you know, a sec. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. So, because this is important. So let's say there's a new token that comes along. It's Monero. They want to utilize value for value. Totally valid. Right. Even the naming of LN address is a misnomer because it's payment specific. Should it not be even more agnostic than that? So that in the future, maybe, you know, I don't know, real-time payments from FedNow. There's all kinds of things that could become available to put into that payment options file. Do we want to even name that LN address? It doesn't matter what it's called, but just, you understand my point? Like, shouldn't all payment go in there so that you can say, well, I prefer Monero, but fall back to LN URL pay or PayPal, or I don't know what, I mean, whatever is coming in the future.
Yeah. But that you're talking about if I'm a podcaster and I've said, okay, I have a Lightning address, here it is, I can accept Lightning. I've put that into my value block as Lightning.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. I'm with you.
So a Monero guy is going to put the value block in there as Monero. Got it. That's going to be a completely different thing.
Got it. Okay. I'm just thinking you might want to have a fallback, but whatever. Monero guys probably don't.
Well, the Monero guy will have a, they'll just have a different payment type in the value recipient tag.
Yeah, value type or payment type. Yeah.
So okay. LN address, the law options lookup and all that stuff never comes into it.
Okay. Okay. Well, that sounds mighty complicated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Does everybody have enough to work with from here? I don't think we have to beat this horse even deader than it already is. I mean, it seems
thing is a bloody stump at this point. I mean, but let's all just, I think Stephen B, God bless him, has made some great points this week. These problems we're trying to solve, these are payment infrastructure problems.
It's not trivial.
Insignificant.
No, it's not trivial. Yeah. No.
We are doing things that are hard. And when you do hard things, you're going to have to make trade-offs. Things are going to suck sometimes. You know, things are going to break. People are going to disagree. Like all of those things are going to happen because these are hard things. So
thus says the Pod Sage. These are hard things. It might suck.
The great wisdom from at the top of the thousand stairs is things suck sometimes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Things sometimes suck. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I feels like things are underway and that people are building things and putting things together. So it kind of feels like our typical process.
Yeah.
Okay. Is everyone,
this is a rebuilding the plane in flight process.
Yes,
because
yes,
this stuff's very, already.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's exactly what it is.
The first time we went through this, there was no payments flowing at all, and now there are. So,
right.
Yeah. You know, obviously, people don't want to mess that up. So,
on the JSON payment token, you like this?
Oh yeah. No, I think it's great. Yeah, I'm a fan of that format.
And Oscar can use that in his Noster environment if he wants to go that way?
Yeah, it could be included for sure. Yeah, it's paint. It's very agnostic to any sort of format. So, I mean, basically, you just, you know, you're just proving that you had the pre-image by signing it and sending it back with your payment data. And I like the format. But there again, you can have the MetaBoost API protocol that's being proposed in the, you know, in the MetaBoost tag spec proposal. Let me give the discussion number real quick.
I think he posted in the boardroom.
Okay, it's discussion number 676 on the GitHub namespace repo.
676.
676, yes. He links to an open API Swagger spec there, where you can grab that, stick it in a Swagger compatible
Swagger
API.
I got Swagger.
Yeah, you can put that in a Swagger compatible API Explorer and look at the spec and hash. You know, we can hash all that out on the GitHub or in the spec or whatever. Okay. But again, that's an agnostic thing where you can say, "This is just a way to exchange payment proofs." Then it removes all the angstiness around where these things go, whether it's Noster or something, you know, I like the fact that it removes all of that stuff. And we don't have to say, you know, just trust me. Right. And we don't all have to just like start querying Fountain's relays for stuff. This lets people actually say, okay, you want to see my payment data or you want to send me payment data?
Show you yours. I'll show you mine.
I'll show you my payment data if you show me yours. It lets people say, okay, here's where you go and here's how you interact with it. And we all just know how to do it.
And that gives people the opportunity to keep things private if they want to have it sent somewhere else or done somewhere else. That's kind of the idea.
Yeah, and it's also a single
point of failure.
No. What am I trying to say? It's a single request type situation. Whereas there's going to be problems with a Noster lookup because that's a WebSocket. Some clients may not want to keep that socket open. This is a little more simplistic. Because it's just an HTTP, you know, query, so it's a little easier to handle, you know, than the WebSocket stuff. So most apps could more easily come on board with something like this than they would be to build out WebSockets. But anyway, I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay, excellent, excellent.
It's going to take time to, you know, flesh it all out.
We're on the road though. I'm loving how everybody's working together, questioning each other, banging stuff around. And I'll just reiterate one more time. I've been talking about it. It started Thanksgiving, actually. We did our Thanksgiving, some friends, and you know, go around the table. What are you thankful for? And I said, I'm thankful.
And you said lightning address option spec.
Exactly. Well known.
And they were like, what?
Dot well known.
I'm thankful for dot well knowns.
No, I said, I'm incredibly thankful for the people in this community. And it actually evolved into a larger discussion. I said, you know, open source development and open development communities blow up all the time. And usually within this four, almost 5 year period. So the fact that we're all still here. And in one form or the other, you know, people come, people go, people come back. I mean, that's life. But the way that we are interacting with each other is, I'm thankful. I'm just thankful for it. It is truly a thing of beauty. And I want everyone to just, you know, just pause for a second and realize how truly awesome this is, because we come from different countries, different cultures, different backgrounds, different heritage, different political ideas, but we all are on the basically on the same page. If we want to make it work, and this is the exact same vibe that podcasting had over 20 years ago. It's the same vibe. And yeah, there's all kinds of stuff that happens. We had the Atom guys come in, ATOM, and they were like, "Whoa!" and was stomping over, you know, and there was some rage quitting, which we haven't really seen here.
Well, all the people that need to block each other, they've already blocked each other, so we're good on that. They don't even see each other anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
okay too, because some people just need to block each other.
And that's right. And that is the big difference. I'll say the Mastodon server, where we hash stuff out, has been, I think, a perfect way to do this for the reason you just said. When it's a, you know, back in the day, it was a Yahoo group. We had an email, a Yahoo group, and you know, and you can't really block people who post stuff who you want to block. You say, I just don't want to hear this person for whatever reason, and I'll see it leak through in other places from other people. It's been a great way to do it, and much better. I mean, the GitHub is good if you get down to the technical details. And you're talking about implementing stuff, and you know the discussions there can go in and out and get a little bit heated, but ultimately everybody comes back to our safe space. You know, podcast index.social. It feels safe,
right? Yeah. I think this community has lived much longer than most do, and that's just a testament to, I think, the focus.
Yeah.
Is people they're just focused on just getting stuff done. I mean, it's not, you know, they just want to, everybody has a similar want, and that's just to make the client, the podcast app experience better.
Yeah.
You know, cause when you're singularly focused on that one thing.
Yeah.
Everything else kind of goes into fog.
So both of my favorite shows in the podcasting space, Power, Podcasting Weekly Review, but also the New Media Show, both talked about the post from Dave Weiner, and I wanted to throw my two cents in about what Dave Weiner posted, and I shouldn't misquote him, because, boy, you want to get Dave mad.
Misquote him.
Yeah, misquote him. Let me see. He had, what was his post now? He wanted to clarify is what he said. I think it came, where was it? Somewhere earlier. Here we go. If I wasn't clear enough yesterday, we're losing the word podcast very quickly. It's coming to mean video interviews on YouTube mostly. Our only hope is to upgrade the open platform a way that stimulates the imagination of creators, and there's no time to waste. If you make a podcast client, it's time to start collaborating with competitors and people who create RSS-based podcasts to take advantage of the open platforms. Otherwise, having a podcast will mean getting approved by Google, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, etc. And they, as we know, are nuzzling up to the new government. Okay, thanks for making it political, Dave. Who will want to impose severe limits. Really? This isn't sure. a casual request. It's urgent. So, a couple things about that, because that's being interpreted in many ways. And I think the key here, and so first of all, people are like, where you been? Like, okay, that, you know, wherever Dave is, he can do whatever he wants. Who cares? And then I'll say right along with that. Oh no, I'll hold that for a second. So where he hasn't been around, he knows about it. You know, Dave and I know him reasonably well from our early days. He gets mad about things. So calling it podcasting 2.0, that's just flip the switch in his brain. He's like, I'm not a part of that. That's not podcasting. So he misunderstood. Doesn't matter. He may not like me. He probably doesn't like me. There's all kinds of reasons why he's not been involved. And now he's calling for something very specific. And I just want to explain what I think he means and where I think he's right. And it's particularly about the podcast client. So when he says client, that's a podcast app. Now, what Dave's vision has always been to integrate OPML into podcasting. It got integrated early on, and it basically became a subscription list. Okay, there's a lot more you can do with OPML, but as a subscription list, it's kind of usable between most apps for importing and exporting your subscriptions. Not a bad feature. What Dave wants is he wants to see more of what the reason is that people go to get podcasts on YouTube is not because of the video. I'm just going to say that it's not because of the video. If it was really because of the video, then Joe Rogan would be putting out video files in his RSS feed. If it really, really, really mattered, it doesn't. It's because of the platform. The platform, it's where people are. It's where there are some big name podcasts that are indeed interviews with video, with, you know, with interesting subjects. It is not the end all be all of podcasts. Otherwise, No Agenda would do it. Otherwise, Pivot would do it. Otherwise, NPR would do it. These are all successful podcasts that don't have a video component. People are able to find it just fine without YouTube. There's external forces that want to have people go onto platforms where you have first-party data, where you already have advertising infrastructure. Those forces are very, very strong. That's the podcast industrial complex, and it infects people's minds like a worm in their brain, and that's why we have this incessant, nonstop talk about, should I do video? No, nobody cares. You either do video or you don't do video. It has nothing to do with other than people want you to be on YouTube because it's easy. What does YouTube do? This is the same cycle we saw with early blogging. Blogging was great. People loved blogging. What blogging was then is Noster today. Why is Noster not growing? Because it's not exciting. It's not that it's not exciting for the creator. That's where I disagree with Dave. It's not exciting for the user. It's a utility. It's like a fork. Let me go get some podcasts. Let me stick my fork into my app and I'll eat it. What is exciting about YouTube and TikTok is the algorithms. Algorithms present right. things. Algorithms can make something go viral. RSS almost by default cannot go viral with the apps that we have. This comes back to something I talked about a while ago with Rachel Maddow, where she's saying, how come these apps don't do anything? They're not exciting. You know, that's, I'm paraphrasing, but that's, she's saying, no surprise, she and Dave Weiner are on the same page. They're not exciting. Now, how can we make it exciting? I think Sam Sethi is already a long way. He understands this. He's already a long way towards the goal. And that is by, so algorithms, none of us are going to do algorithms. We'll never have the horsepower to power our apps with algos that look at everybody and make recommendations. But in Dave Weiner world, this was something called share your OPML. And you could upload your subscription file, and then you could mix and match. You can do all kinds of fun things if you have a central repository of people's subscriptions. And now you can get some recommendations and interesting data out of there. That is how Dave Weiner thinks. He doesn't think in APIs. He thinks in feeds and just files. So right. I think that's very old-fashioned, although, you know, perfectly valid. What Sam is doing with his activity data, this is the kind of stuff you want. This is the kind of stuff you want to work together on. And a version of that is comments. That's true. A version of it, you know, the illustrious, the ever just out of reach cross app comments.
Two weeks.
But understanding what. So, and Fountain, in a way, is also kind of doing this where you follow people on Noster. I find it confusing, but I understand. The idea is if I'm following someone, and this is what True Fans does, and also Fountain, I'm following Dave. Suddenly something shows up in my timeline from Dave because he played or he subscribed to or he listened to or he did something with another podcast. I like Dave Jones. I like Dave. Whoa, what is Dave listening to? Boom. Now, from there, I want to be able to see who else is connected to this. This is the surfing that kind of is a reverse algorithm that makes the product exciting. The majority of our podcast apps are just utility, and nothing wrong with it that, you know, we made radios. Now, if we want to compete with, and I don't really feel we have to, but I feel there's a huge opportunity, and by accident, you and I took our own advice and we created Godcaster, which I'll tell a little bit about here because it's a super secret project, but you know, people are learning about it now. It's a business to business product. It is a podcast player with a lot of functions, and we're very specific to a specific market. At this point in time, it is faith-based radio stations. So we give them a way, and our pitch to them is we're giving them a way to transition from towers and broadcast signals to a stream, and all of their nationally syndicated content that they already have now can be found in one place in their player, because the Godcaster becomes their podcast player, which is managed by and made exciting by the manager of that radio station. That's a very, very short view of what it is. There's a lot more to it. Mm-hmm. But it is an exciting product because it has an opinion. The opinion is this is the type of content we're showing, and that content is actually being managed by someone who's doing that for you. This could be done in many different ways. But it is an exciting podcast player. It's not an app. It's not, you know, we're really not trying to compete with anybody here. It's very, very specific for this audience. We might expand, but this is where it starts. And right. We're seeing great success. People really enjoy this. And wherever you get your podcast is so powerful because now these radio stations are saying, hey, you can get this. We've already set this up for you. The podcast is right here. And I don't have the numbers, and I've tried to get data. It's somewhere between 25 and I think 40%. I'm just guessing. I'd love to hear more from James or from Tom or from anybody who knows. But I think my experience is a lot of people find it very enjoyable to just go to a web page and hit play. Not everybody mm-hmm. uses a podcast app. And I think it's because of the reasons I just mentioned. They're interested in a very small subset, and the podcast app is not delivering that experience to them.
Right.
So there's work that we can do, and I think definitely by working together and exchanging some of this data, we can make these products more exciting. Because what RSS feeds and blogging turned into was social media. Twitter was RSS feed based, which is why it failed because they centralized all these RSS feeds. That was, you know, their architecture was all off for moving to a very quick updating type system. But that's what made it exciting. And, you know, Blue Sky, Blue Cry, as I call it, you know, they also have algorithms. Now, their pitch is they're going, now it's a pitch, I haven't seen it in motion yet. Their pitch is, well, we're going to let you choose your algorithm. We'll see how that works out because they've just announced they're probably going to do ads and it's all going to suck. It's all going to suck. It's all going to start to suck just as bad. Instead of being able to interchange information between the users themselves. And I think that is what's missing. And that's being kind of wiped away by saying, you need to do video. No, it's just not true. Now, are we going to lose the word podcast? I don't think so. You know, a podcast, yeah, I get my podcast on YouTube, fine. But we know people are also getting their podcasts in podcast apps. We know they're getting it on Spotify. We know they're getting it in TikTok, that what they think is a podcast. But they're also getting it on Apple. They're getting it on Fountain, Podverse, Podcast Guru, CurioCast, or wherever. They're getting it wherever you get your podcast. So right. Let's make it exciting and let's work together on some of these ideas and get the data flowing between the apps. I think that is critical for the future of apps, not for the future of podcasting. Everybody who goes to YouTube and turns on a camera and gets some mics and is on YouTube eventually gets distressed, whether they're deplatformed, demonetized, they don't hit the algo, they hit the algo one day, they don't understand it, they have no control, all kinds of, you know, lose your password, all kinds of bad things happen when you're not RSS feed based. That's an education piece that the hosting companies are very good at and will continue to teach their customers. And if it really was about video, then people would be demanding video on from podcast hosting companies at any cost. But they're not. Mm-hmm. And you can't compete with YouTube or any of these large systems who have incredible infrastructure for delivering this video. You can't. So let's not try to. And let's just stop with that. Make great experiences with your podcast apps. I think value for value, that interaction is something very unique, boosting. It's very unique. How do we make that more enticing, interesting? Again, I think Podverse made a bold decision. They said, we're going to show these boostergrams underneath the episodes. There's a lot of engagement there. And look at what TrueFans, Sam is gamifying all kinds of stuff. He's pointing in the right direction.
Right.
That's my spiel for today.
Well, I think you came up with a good point in there when you were talking about the excitement is not there because things can't really kind of go, things can't go viral. Mm-hmm. And I never really thought about it in that way, but if you take what you said back to podcast, quote unquote industry, I don't think there actually is one, but the quote unquote podcast industry, what gets everybody excited? It's
money,
rankers.
Money, money.
You know, well, across the board, people get excited when they get their unwrapped, when they get their.
There you go. Perfect example.
When they get the top 10 lists come out.
Oh yeah. Now you're talking about listeners.
Podcast of the year.
Yes.
And that's what podcast apps are not good at showing that sort of thing. There may be some, hey, here's some recommendations, but when you log into something like YouTube, what you see is, and this is YouTube way more than something, or X is a good example. Spotify I don't think is very good at this at all, but things like YouTube and Twitter/X, they are very good at using an algorithm to just throw a bunch of stuff in front of you.
And then see what sticks and give you more of that. I mean, they're right. Tracking that on an individual level. Absolutely.
And that's not something that podcast apps are traditionally very good at, is doing that sort of thing. And it can be done, but what really you need is, you can go about it kind of two ways. You like the true fans approach, which is sort of activity based. It's like, well, I'm going to have an activity feed where I follow people and see and what they're doing. And I know, like you mentioned, I like Adam, I see his stuff, and then his stuff influences, my feed, and I begin to get recommendations and stuff based on what I'm seeing from him. But then there's another way, which is sort of the Godcaster thought process, which is I'm the program director for this station. And these are all the things that I'm going to say represent me. Or you could say a church would be this way too. The church staff may all have specific podcasts that they listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they assemble all of that into a player. And they present this program grid to you. They present a batch of podcasts that they recommend. They're advocating for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing could be done for open source software. You may have people that are heavy in the podcasting 2.0. You may have the podcasting 2.0 community may have a set of podcasts that a lot of us listen to that we would say, okay, yeah, this is, these are these, if you're a part of this community, here's what we recommend you listen to.
And so, yes, BitPunk FM, that is, Podroll is a part of that, but
yes.
where's the support? People on, what are we drinking? Pabst? Michelob?
LaCroix.
The king of beers?
The king, LaCroix, the king of water.
So yes, it is absolutely, but you know, we're all busy. We have other things to do. Where's the support? I mean, there's some big hosts that support Podroll. So this is a perfect example. Even stuff your app can do with geolocation or the location tag or the people. There's a lot of stuff that can be done. If you want to be a utility, that's fine. But let's take it away from it has to be video, because that's just, forgive me, Lord, bullshit. It really is. It's bullshit. It is.
Yeah. And I think it doesn't work if only, this is another thing we have to understand about podcasting, is that we are all in this together.
Yeah.
From an app standpoint. And that is something that I respect so much about everybody here, is Oscar, you know, and Stephen B and Mitch, and everybody is so willing to play ball with each other, because I think we all understand that we're in this together. We're not independent silos,
right?
Of, you know, so what, in some way, Oscar can't survive without other apps.
Absolutely.
Because all they all play a role. Everybody has their favorite sort of app, and everybody, it plays a role to lift everything up and create more and keep them, you know, content flowing. So when you have things like Podroll, and I'm going full mush. when you have things like Podroll, publisher feeds, if all of that is flowing cross platform, I mean, that's like a united front to say, here's what podcasting can be.
Right.
Here's what RSS-based podcasting can be. It can be decentralized and still have a sort of global algorithm at its core.
And we have to lose by trying this in our apps. We have nothing to lose.
Oh, nothing. Yeah, yeah.
And there's still some kind of old school ethos that came in, you know, of everyone's equal, it's all the same, everyone has the same weight. And no, you have users, and Fountain users are different from Podcast Guru users, are different from Podverse users, and you'll have different user groups within that. And we need to start, this is why I said we need the Rachel Maddow app. You make the Rachel Maddow app, which can be the same version of your other app, just brand it differently, throw it in. I'm telling you, she will glom towards it, because she wants it. She wants to get all of this certain type of content. She wants to see where she is in the number of people on that apps that using. It's the same thing. It's the same thing as likes and follows. It's all the same thing. It's all the stuff that people like. They enjoy it. They enjoy seeing these things. And we have a lot of this data at our disposal. And by the way, I'm fine. If you just, again, I'll just say, make utility apps are fine. There's the opportunity. Dave Weiner is pointing it out in a Dave Weiner kind of way. I mean, he has a Dave Weiner type of solution, and he's under-informed, perhaps ignorant about what we have done here.
Willingly ignorant.
Yeah. But we have all the, and I'll come back to one thing that I didn't say earlier. Sam and Dave is different guys. Hold on, I'm coming. Sam and James said, well, we need a figurehead for podcasting 2.0. It's too bad Adam doesn't do that. Okay, so I'm going to just make it very clear. Tried that. Got the back room at Podcast Movement. No mas. No mas. Those guys are in a different plane. Yeah. They're doing different things. They have different motivators. We got nothing. And, you know, and with respect, I got invited to, it's short day, January 17th, to, you know, MC the Podcasting Hall of Fame. I'm going to respectfully decline. You know, First of all, I don't have time in my life for running around doing all this stuff. I'm doing other things that I find more important for what I'm doing in life. But also, it's a circle jerk. It's not. This is not important for podcasting. It really isn't. Yes. And the Podcasting Hall of Fame. It's like saying it's like a top like Apple's chart. You know, this everyone has a different chart. How many award shows do we have? There's a million award shows. It's just another part of money stuff running around in different circles. It's irrelevant.
The Podcast Academy is not important. That stuff. It's all just stuff that's been velcroed to the side of podcasting.
Thank you.
It's velcroed. Irrelevant.
Yes, velcroed. So it's you know, what is it? What even does a Podcast Hall of Fame mean? You know, Hall of Fame for what? It's a marketing opportunity. And then you can speak about podcasting 2.0. What am I going to say? It's podcasting. We have new apps. Good night, Cleveland or Orlando, Miami, wherever it is. You know, we have cool new stuff. I talk about it twice a week for a reasonably large audience. I say, go to podcastapps.com. We got all kinds of cool stuff. We got chapters. We got location. We got chapter images. We have, you get my podcast updated within 90 seconds. You get a bat signal when I'm going live. You know, it's the podcasters that need to promote it. The podcasters. Mm-hmm. They need to be passionate about it. And the ones that are and that do it succeed.
And the people follow the content. You've made this point many times. People follow content. They don't follow platforms.
Nope.
Necessarily.
Nope.
And so they will follow I will follow the content that I like to wherever platform it goes to.
That's right.
If you know, I listen to No Agenda twice a week for you know, I don't know how many 15 years now. Mm-hmm. And if No Agenda went subscription behind a paywall on Rumble, I've never looked at Rumble in
Brighteon,
my entire life.
Brighteon.
I would go there tomorrow and set up an account and do all that kind of stuff. Just cause, I mean, that's the way this stuff works. The platforms are not as important, I don't think, as people make them out to be. Now there is an excitement factor with certain types of platforms. You know, and with the algorithms and the push and the nudging and all this kind of stuff, I totally understand that. I totally understand that. And podcast apps can be better about that. We will get better about that over time.
Yes.
But, I don't really think the platforms matter that much. In fact, I know they don't. I mean, this is like anything else. Everybody thought that Google was going to eat RSS, and then they just got bored with it and gave up.
Well, they gave up to try a social media network, and they failed three times.
Right.
It's not in their DNA.
And RSS is still fine. It's not. Yeah. It's been completely unaffected by them.
Yeah.
So I just don't think that. And Spotify's going to get tired of podcasting. I think they already are.
Oh, and they're going to get tired of video, and people are going to get tired of how they handle it. Because no, it's all. And they're all. I mean, what a botched launch! Now you can do video on. We just like YouTube, only better. How much money can it make?
We're not sure yet.
Yeah, we're not sure yet.
Stand by.
And you know, and look at the beautiful infrastructure we have with hosting companies. Look at the diversity. Look at the scope. Look at the different types of help and all the things you can get. And people often come crying to them like, oh, it didn't work out over there. Okay, do this and we can help you with this piece. You know, you get none of that. You get none of that support and level of control over your own content. And people will figure that out. I mean, they always do. And when the content leaves somewhere, just like you said, it goes somewhere else, they'll find it. Mm-hmm. And often I'm accused of, well, you know, you're famous. And dude, it's only gotten harder. The more podcasts, the more places to get podcasts, it's only gotten harder. And the older I get, the less relevant I get. There's people listening to No Agenda who never saw a video on MTV, ever.
Yeah.
Didn't even know they had videos on MTV. And
yeah, you don't get an automatic gimme. I don't think that's true. I mean, this happens in the sort of app world too. You could say that Marco is a good example of that. He's got sort of a cult following of people who always are interested in his stuff, but they didn't, people have not kept using Overcast for 10 years because Marco is Marco.
Right.
They use it because it's a good app.
Yeah.
It's a good app. If he had made a, if he had made a crummy app, it would have fizzled.
And an app is content. Yeah. An app is also content.
Totally. It's totally content. Yeah. If you've had a podcast for 5 years and you still only have 12 listeners, it doesn't mean that you need to stop because you may enjoy, you may be doing it yes. just because you enjoy it, but it does mean that it's probably not content that a lot of people are ever going to be interested in. So, it may, you know, if your goal is to do some sort of like make a living that way, it's probably, you need to switch gears.
Yeah. Do something else. Well, yeah. And this is always the problem, you know, it's like, fame, which is often associated with money, but is absolutely not perpendicular or linear. You know, the promise, the way that successful people are put on a pedestal, and you can do this too. I've been guilty of hey, quit your day job as well, and I've really tried to make that happen for some people. Some succeeded, most didn't. You know, it always, and you know, if anything. This move, this talk of video is discouraging people from getting started. And as a group, I think we should just cut it out. Just cut it out. Stop talking about it. Now, that's hard to do because money is so tied into a lot of the podcast press and reasons for people to talk about it. That's our culture. You know, it always comes down to money. But I do tons of things for no money, like this very podcast.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I get a lot of satisfaction out of doing this podcast. It's for me. I love it. It floats my boat, fills my buckets, tweaks my tweeters.
Okay, you know, that's the show title.
What's the title? Tweaks my tweeters.
Tweaks my tweeters. Yeah. Yeah, tweak my tweeters.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a. Yeah, what's our time like?
We may have to. We got to do a double thank you because we didn't do it on the last board meeting.
Oh yeah. Okay. I've got two things that we got to talk about this next week.
Okay, I'm going to write it down.
Okay.
Next week. All right.
Chat transcripts for live items.
Ooh. Okay.
And. Podping D.
Okay.
Alex has open sourced the repository for Podping D, which sounds like all things D, which which is also ironic because all things D is run by Kara Swisher, who's a lesbian, which is our.
What does that have to do with anything?
All things D. I'll leave that up to the listener as an exercise.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. sorry, you took my brain into a place I try not to visit more than twice a week.
yeah, okay. We got to talk about those two things next week. It's been on the list for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, let's thank people who have supported the show. And subsequently, so not the board, the boardroom goes straight into podcastindex.org, keeps everything running. I'll do the live boost that came in today. 1, 2, 3, 4 from Salty Crayon. Howdy, boardroom. Today in the boardroom, Dave goes all in on that MRE lunch to clog the pipes.
Hey, I've been slowly consuming this lunch the entire show. Yeah. I'm almost done.
I haven't had anything to eat today. We'll have to have this on re-listen. Love you, Pod Sage, he says. 777 from Sam Sethi. We have added LN address support and backward compatibility to Keysend. We also have a transfer sats into TrueFans rolling out Monday. So a TrueFans wallet and bring your sats. So get a TrueFans wallet and bring your sats. Oh, excellent. Very good. 1000 from Eastside Tony. ITM Boardroom, testing my Albi Hub via Podverse. Getting ready for Boostagram Ball Live. See you in Austin, Adam. Yes. Reminder, December 16th, Antone's Austin. It's going to be a hootenanny. I already saw Booberry has put together a neon Boostagram ball sign that will be controllable through specific boost numbers.
Sweet.
So it's going to be fantastic. Had a great meeting today. I'm very excited about it.
And did Booberry set that up for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, with Eric PP.
Eric PP?
Yeah. So I've had nothing. I just have to show up. I mean, this is the easiest gig for me. Everyone knows, just tell Adam where to be and he'll be there and he'll do his thing. Cause that's what I'm good at. And everything nice. Else has just been done. Dovi Das is involved. The Music Mama, the Costellos, everybody's all in. Open mic. Everyone's in. This is a perfect example of how beautiful this group can be. 111 from Sir TJ the Wrathful. We had a small problem in Sovereign Feeds deleting existing splits. Turns out to be a viewport issue. If you go full screen with Sovereign Feeds, you hover over the trash icon, it turns red. You can delete it. I got that on the fly. Thank you very much, Stephen Bell. Nice. B. Densey. He said, Pod News Weekly Review. I was playing Pod News Weekly Review while we were waiting for you. Then we have 10,101. Thank you, C-Dubs, from C-Dubs. He says, my concern with PodPay is trusting specific NPubs from hosted providers. Boost CLI has no server and would always be signed by the user. Oscar said this should be fine. I'll try to find some proof of concept for Boost CLI. BoostBot will be harder because it requires a web server and domain for the LN URL. I have no idea what that means.
Well, I mean, this is the same problem as PKI, the public key infrastructure. I mean, always trusting. I mean, you have to decide who you're going to trust.
Mm.
I mean, there's no trust no one in PKI.
Right.
And that's essentially, this is going to suffer from the same problem. But, you know, you eventually build up a web of
trust,
of keys that you trust. Yeah. And I mean, there's really no way around that we know of yet.
Okay. All right. That's what I have. Then I see stuff that you should have in your readout screen.
My HUD,
whatever that is, your heads up display.
I got two that I somehow missed, two PayPals that I somehow missed, like August 3rd. I mean, this, I was looking through back. My email has 1,153 unread messages in it in my podcast.
Now you're talking.
Mailbox.
Now you're talking.
We're getting there.
You're the man.
I'm trying to, it's my all-time high. It's ATH.
Beautiful.
1153. Hell, ATH. Randall Black, $5. He sent us $5 in August. Thanks, Randall. Sorry for missing that. Let's see. We got, $20 from Xenon Entertainment.
Xenon.
Nick. Nick is Xenon. Thank you, right. Nick. Appreciate it. And he says in his message in here is, can you please remove the following feeds from the index, which I clearly never did since I just saw this.
So, we'll fix it.
So that's not good. Jesse Hunter gave us $10. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate that. And this is going to be monthlies as well in here.
And remember, you have to get comics or blogger. You have to get his.
I got him. I got him.
All right, cool.
Yeah, these are the monthly PayPal. These are a mix of one-offs and monthly PayPals here. Chad Farrow, $20.22. Thank you, Chad F. Appreciate you. Cameron Rose, $25. Thank you, Cameron. Kevin Bay, $5. Thank you, Kevin. Mark Graham, $1. PodPage, that's Brendan. We just talked about PodPage earlier. Mm-hmm. $25. Thanks, mm-hmm. guys. New Media, that is Martin Lindeskog, $1. And here's the December from Randall Black to accompany his August.
Wow.
For the previous one, $5.
Wow, okay.
And Joseph Maraca, $5. Oscar Mary, $200. Thank you, Oscar.
Whoa, I'll give you a little baller for that, brother. Thank you so much.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
And the Upbeats Music Podcast sent us $11.11.
That's also says, salty, with a note. Salty Crayon, yes.
Thank you, Salty. Says, just a short row of cuck bucks before we kick off the Christmas giving season of sats. Pinging the pongs, juicing the JSONs, and slashing the pseudos in the pipe. I like it.
Good one.
Yeah, I like this. We got some boosts here. Let me scroll down. All right, we got Steve Webb. Oh, hey, Steve.
The OG Godcaster right there.
Yeah. Striper boost. Great sound. Heard it on Podcasting 2.0. We got 20,000 sats from Chris Lass, from Chris at Jupiter. He says,
oh, nice.
Happy to help test and transition things at Jupiter Broadcasting as app transition off the ALBI API. After listening today, my biggest concern would be losing the info in the TLV record and how to handle the transition in our value tags. Yes, Chris, I think.
Yep, we're working on it.
That.
Yep, stay tuned.
Yeah, jump in the discussion over there, Chris, at discussion 676 on the repo.
That's right. In the show notes.
1701, B. Dancy. True fan zap from episode 201, Fugue State. Thank you, B. Dancy. We've got Scott, and that is spelled S.C.O.T.T. 3420 Sats through Podcast Guru says, Adam, I'm also on the spectrum, and certain sounds can be extremely amplified for me.
You know, okay, so he was boosting this live during the last show because when I did the update to Rodecaster, they completely screwed up something. I haven't quite figured it out yet. And so my noise gate was tripping, and there was all kinds of stuff going on. He said he could hear my vape, although I'm very careful to mute when I vape. I'm very disappointed in Rode for doing that. So they upgraded my experience, and they ruined my processing settings. So I've been dialing in every single podcast all over again.
Are you taking screenshots?
It's impossible to do. I just do it by ear. And I save it. I save frequently. But actually, it's given me an opportunity to reevaluate the processing. So it's kind of a good thing. But I still think that a technology company dealing in audio, if you do an update, it should not change processing. Shame on you.
I just checked. I haven't done anything on mine. I just checked and it says there's a firmware update available. Should I do it right now?
Do you really want pain before the weekend? No.
Surround of London, 1948, Sats. Through Podverse, he says, been a while since I could boost live. Seems like only after I publicly criticized things, I was able to re-off my podcast apps with Albie. I also suffered a 14 million sat loss in a deliberate attack on my API, exploiting a technical failure in my coding. Back here again, though, boosting live.
All right.
Glad 14 million back. Sats is not an insignificant number.
No, no, that's a lot of money. Sorry to hear that, brother. Brian. Sorry.
Yeah, man, that blows, dude.
You tripped with the scissors.
Right in the neck, right in the jugular. Right.
Yeah.
Kyron from the Memorals podcast, a satchel of Richards, 1111 through Fountain. He says, because I know you guys like being careful with your words, Bitcoin is disinflationary, not deflationary.
Thank you. Good point.
I.e. more comes out, but at a slower rate. Ethereum, with its burn mechanism, makes it at times deflationary, i.e. there is less of the total supply.
Yes, you're correct. Disinflationary, not deflationary. He makes a point. I believe he's correct. Okay.
So deflationary would be the money supply actually goes down.
Yes.
Although there has to be some sort of steady rate of loss, right?
Yeah.
There has been loss over time, probably less now than there used to be.
Oh, there's millions of Satoshis are gone.
They're just millions never of be spendable. Millions
of Bitcoins, yeah.
Okay, interesting. All right. Thanks, Karen. Cole McCormick, 1111, Satchel Richards through Fountain. He says, I'm ride or die with Fountain. Thanks for introducing me to Nostr, Oscar. I see the vision.
Ooh.
Oh, we got a believer.
Got right. Laser eyes.
Laser eyes.
Yeah.
Chad F. 7777 through Curio Caster. He says, thanks for all you do, Oscar. Salty Crayon, Satchel Richard through Curio Caster. He says, pinging the pongs, juicing the JSONs, go podcasting. I don't know how to say. J-U-H-O-E-E. J-U-H-O-E-E-M-E-L-I. Juhoemily. Okay. I don't know. A Satchel Richards through Fountain and just a smiley face. Thank you. That's a 2222 total boost. We got a fraction of that. Gene Everett, 3333 through Fountain. He says, boost!
Yeah, okay. We can do one of those. Where is that?
Boost!
There we go.
Let's see. Oh, is this, did you read this one? It says, about your vaping.
Yes. That was the okay. same thing. Yeah.
Okay. And let's see, I have a deep dive into Albie Hub. I'm concerned about failures like you were just talking about. Let's see. This was D. Schwartz. It says, have you done a deep dive into Albie Hub? I'm concerned about failures like you were just talking about. And as a listener, I don't want to pay upwards of $20 a month for the cloud version of Albie Hub. So the question is, can I use Podcast Guru without an Albie wallet? And I think the answer to that is no, not right now.
Not now, no.
Now what Jason and Alex over there have cooked up for that, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to try to allow you to connect to Strike.
Yeah.
But that's just an assumption on my part. I don't know that for a fact. Yeah. So stay tuned is all I can say. Genonymous 6969. No note. Thank you, Genonymous. Appreciate that. And we got the delimiter, Construct Blobbers.
There he is. Yeah, go ahead. I'll say something afterwards.
16,000 sats through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Hey there, audio fetishists. Are you tired of podcasts that are about as stimulating as a flatline? Mm-hmm. Do you crave something that tickles your eardrums in all the right places? Introducing 20,000 Hertz from www.20k.org, the podcast that'll make you feel like you're getting a sensual massage from the sound waves. Hosted by Dallas Taylor, this show dives deep into the world of sound. It's not just a podcast. It's an oral assault you won't forget. Yo, CSB.
Thank you, CSB. I'm going to strike what I was going to say. Thank you, CSB.
I'm going to say, this feels Chat GPT-ish.
You think? yes.
Chat CSB-ish.
Chat CSB. That's it. ChatCSB.com, everybody.
That's it. That's our group.
Well, thank you all for supporting us value for value. This is, this will be in the documentary too, how this entire project, how the podcast index.org, all the machines, all the aggregators, everything that's running, it all runs because of you. We have, liquidity available on the node. I keep seeing people saying, I can't get a channel. Just tag me or email me, adammccurry.com. I'll be happy to open a channel to you. That is part of the service that we provide. And we appreciate it. Go to podcastindex.org down at the bottom. If you want to send us some fiat fund coupons, there's a big red donate button. You can send us a PayPal. And of course, we always appreciate your boost. All right. You're only 15 minutes late, and I got a boogie. In fact, the show will not be up as quickly as usual because I'm running right out of the studio. I got to go take my dog to the vet. Got to get back before the parade closes off the streets in Fredericksburg.
And you got to get back in the time to drive the float.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The big come and take it float. That's the one.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Have a great weekend, Dave.
All right, man, you too, bro.
All right, everybody else. Boardroom participants of Podcasting 2.0, have a great weekend. Thank you for being here. We'll be back next Friday for another edition of Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Do it! Do it! Just do it!